When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
So the Liberty commercial where the dude saves money and so he takes his savings and buys a wax figure of himself, it's really creepy, isn't it? Like, they're really weird.
Oh, it's weird. Like, who would in the right mind get a wax figure of themselves and then bring it out
and think it's a cool thing?
To the waterfront by the Statue of Liberty.
And then in one of the commercials, it melts. And then the other commercial takes a frisbee to the temple lobe. And I'm just like, what are we doing? Why are we... Is this for insurance? Why are we buying wax figures of ourselves?
You got that kind of money, man.
Yeah, when you're saving money, you can buy whatever you want, Doug.
Like a wax figure of yourself.
Exactly.
That's not on your list?
You go to Turkey if you want.
You good.
If that's what you want to do.
If that's what you want to do.
I'd probably rather get a wax figure.
Then go to Turkey? Turkey. Yeah,
would the wax figure have hair, or would it be like just like you?
Yeah, which version of Doug would we get?
Yeah.
Like 1990 Doug?
Oh, yeah, well, you don't know what he's going to do.
Frosted Tips Doug? Yeah. Are we gonna get like 2005 Doug where he starts to go away?
It starts to go away.
Are we going to get 2015 Doug that's like using the head blade shave or whatever? I don't know how you shave your head, but is that what we're gonna go with? I mean, what wax figure would you get? Which version of Doug?
I'd probably get the one with the Vanilla Ice three lines in the side.
Epic Doug.
A little fade on the side.
Was that getting fired by Bell's Pizza Doug?
That was right around that time. Yeah.
I like that Doug.
Right around that time. That Doug was dangerous.
That Doug ate red meat. That Doug ate red meat.
Oh, that Doug woke up feeling dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am dangerous.
Maverick.
The sniff, the double sniff.
This is a Top Gun reference. People who don't know. The original Top Gun.
But you would, you said wax figure, not you find it creepy.
Do you?
Yes. Okay. I found it creepy when I first saw it like a month ago, and it was the one where it starts to melt.
Yeah.
And you start to see it like sweat through the shirt, if you will, but it's just the wax and it's melting. And then when the ankles go on the thing, I get a little sick to my stomach when the ankles break because I get the feeling I just witnessed a horrific injury, you know. Warning, Gator graphic, this wax figure is about to break at the ankles, is what I thought.
Just for the record here, the Liberty wax figure commercials, creepy. The Progressive insurance don't turn into your parents commercials, still delivering.
Hysterical.
Yeah, I'm still big on the Progressive commercials.
I don't mind being creeped out at times, though. I mean, it's entertaining to me.
This is the creepiest commercial since the Burger King commercial with the big...
I love the Burger King guy. I think
the Burger King guy was scary, like
you wake up and he's lying in your bed. You're like, what are you doing, dude? And then he rewards you with a croissant sandwich. You're like, you're my man. You're my man.
That can make up for a lot.
It does.
Right? Someone brings you a breakfast sandwich. You're like...
Get the hell out of my house! And then he's like, wait a minute, I have French toast sticks. You're like... Thank you.
I know, right?
Thank you so much, King. Can I get you some coffee? You know, it starts...
Doug doesn't eat the breakfast sandwich like we do.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Starts out creepy, but then King ends up being a king. He's awesome. But we haven't seen that enough in forever.
No, right? And I don't miss it.
You don't miss it?
I found the king to be creepy.
I miss Aaron Insurance.
This guy.
Wonder what she looks like now.
Huh? Curious, is she still
aged? Let me back up here. and
everyone's
get to the
Botox.
Let me get back up here to the second part of this because it ties in to the Liberty commercials.
She's athletic.
Mega Millions is at $944
million. Wow.
So we like to play a game called Would You Buy? Would you buy a wax figure of yourself if you hit a $944 million Mega Millions winning?
No. No, I would not. Because wax figures have always creeped me out. As a kid, I remember going to the Guinness Book of World Records museum, which is like in
San Francisco.
It's like in Niagara Falls or something. They had one in Niagara Falls.
That sounds about right.
And
that sounds very Niagara Falls-y.
It creeped me out as a kid walking through there. I was creeped out. I was creeped out by a bunch of things there, but that was one of them.
Was it?
Yeah. The other was, I think they literally had the world's tallest man walking around in the museum at the time. And I'll be like,
he was
8 or 9
alive?
Years old. Well, it was a different guy, whoever the current one was at the time. And, you know, I'm like 8 or 9 years old and this guy's walking around and I like craned my head straight up. I couldn't believe how tall this guy was. It creeped me out. I was freaked out.
Did it really?
Yeah.
All right. So no to the wax figure?
It's a no.
Kang, would you buy a wax figure of yourself?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Now what about statue?
I was going to ask that next, Gator. Like
Pudge Rodriguez?
Yep.
Like Rocky?
Yeah. Barry Sanders in front of Ford Field.
Okay. I mean, okay, so because it goes twofold. Okay, would you do the statue? And if you do the statue, what pose would the statue
yes,
be in?
Yes. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't get the guy who did Dwayne Wade.
No.
That guy.
Dude.
I want my money back.
No, but the guy who ends up doing like the statues you see at Comerica Park.
Yeah, like the good ones.
Ford Field, LCA, the good ones.
Okay, let's say, hey, for fun,
yeah,
you have to do this. Yeah. What's the pose? What kind of, you know, setting?
Am like, I going to be an athlete? Am I going to be me and a guitar?
Yeah.
I think I might, if am I allowed to do this?
Yeah.
I don't buy lotto tickets. So our rules, typically, I don't get to dream. In fact, I'll abstain. I don't get allowed to dream. Go ahead.
No, I think you have a strong opinion on
okay,
this.
I would be in the celebration fist pump and leg kick that Antoine Randall had yesterday. That was awesome.
Can you physically do that, though?
It's a good question. I want to look at it. Maybe during the commercial break, I'll practice a little bit. And people who are streaming can watch me try.
It's a good thing you got some time off coming up because...
to recover. Yeah.
Doug Karsh, broadcaster, tore his groin.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. What athletic pose would I go with? Would it be like, would I go high school Gator in a football uniform? Like pass rushing? That would look kind of cool. Like a swim move type thing with one arm up in the air as I'm coming over. Would it be throwing a football?
What?
Would it be running with a football? You know, almost like a Heisman type thing?
Well, is it at home Gator with Lois?
Oh, that's another one. Well, no, because home Gator with Lois, that's just me like on a couch. You know,
it's your statue, man.
I know, but that's you know, I could see that live. I can't see myself live anymore as a football player.
Oh, you want to take it back to like peak Gator?
Yeah, exactly. I think I might do that. It might, it would probably be as a pass rusher coming through. Something with big hand up in the air.
What about you, Kang?
I don't know, man. This is a tough question. This is a good question.
Like
yeah, right? If you had to put a statue yourself, I mean, do you go back eras? Do something current? Do you want to be majestic? Or do you want to, you know?
I could see you, like, dribbling a basketball up court, holding, because you're a point guard, holding, like, the wand up in the air.
Calling the play.
Yeah.
I like that.
Or would you rather be in mid-shot?
Like, I'm always ready to shoot, Jack.
When's the drawing?
Tomorrow night.
Is it?
Yeah, Tuesdays and
what a Christmassy surprise is going to be for one of you two. Very excited.
Dude, we were looking at the potential payout, Doug. We still don't understand how the math
works. I don't understand the math
and
how they do it. It's not only, it's more than chopped in half.
Yeah.
Like the what'd you say, 922?
944.
944.
944. And I think the if you wanted to take the payout, it was like $420 million. And then it's taxed. After the 420 at what, like a 60% rate or whatever. So, you know, you're looking at $250, $300 million or whatever it is. That seems like, it just seems odd that gets chopped that much. Whereas I guess I think it's a 30-year payout otherwise. So would you take the $30 million a year roughly, a little more than $31 million a year, but that gets taxed every year. But is that, does that mean it's take home like $16 to $18 million a year, something like that? And over the course of time, does that make more sense than just having the money right away and you can invest it?
Given that I don't buy tickets, I've given this zero thought.
What's your first thought right now?
My first thought is I'm not surprised a lot of it gets taken away.
And would you a lump sum or payment?
Nobody does the payment.
Nobody.
If it seems like nobody does, and like that's the logic because you can make more money if you invest it. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get
back. Uncertain times, though.
We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback. Champ and Chubb votes. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
So it's great to see our teams in the D playing awesome. Love it. They're winning. It's just like the great team over at Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. They win, and they're making sure that the customers win on every single deal. The deals at Sarah Chevrolet are absolutely amazing. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield, right now, you want the Equinox EV? It's only $114 a month. You get the Chevy Blazer, that's just $294 a month. Now, all the unbeatable payments they have are with only $999 down. That's taxes and fees included, my friends. There's no games, no gimmicks. It's just great winning deals for their customers. If you need more money for your trade-in, Sarah Chevrolet Southfield has you covered because they treat trade-ins like a highly sought-after free agent, like Alex Bregman. Big money. That's right, huge money for your trade. In fact, you get up to $2,000 more. And if you're paying too much for service, only to feel like you're left in the cheap seats, Sarah Chevrolet Southfield will have you feeling like you're sitting on the 50-yard line. Service is open every Saturday. Free loaner vehicles are available. No appointments necessary. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield will get you in and out quickly. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield at 696 and Telegraph. SarahChevrolet.com. Together, let's drive.
Happy holidays, everybody. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Scott writes in, I'm driving my wife crazy with questions when I see the wax figure commercial. Are we supposed to know who this guy is? Why is he dressed like that? What does this have to do with insurance? All valid questions.
Sure.
Is that guy somebody?
No.
Is that a TV character on a show I don't watch?
It's just, they're all the Liberty Mutual commercials are, they're strange, right?
Yeah, well, that one's really weird.
Limu and Doug? Love that.
Yeah, I'd like to think that it was cool, but it's, because it's, you don't see a lot of Doug Love anymore.
Sorry, man.
It's okay, but the commercials don't make me feel any better about the name Doug.
Yeah, they're making it worse.
Who's this dim-witted guy that hangs out with an emu?
Definitely not going to be an increase in Doug.
Like, I mean, we give it Doug's a bad name over here.
Guy's got a great mustache, tinted shades.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy the commercials.
Do you?
I do.
I don't think they help dogs.
Before they had the Liberty Bibberty guy who couldn't line.
Yeah, that guy was funny.
Right.
That guy was funny.
It's all funny.
Liberty Mutual. Liberty Bibberty. let's go to Bridge in Farmington Hills. You're next. What's up, Bridge?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bridge.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a comment on the line before I give you a champ and chump.
Yep.
I called you, you know, about 4 weeks ago, and I said I was a little concerned about the defense.
Yeah.
And a good quarterback will show them up, and sure enough, you know, they showed up the Bills. And now, after those two, even now, even though they won handily, I'm still concerned when they run up against a good quarterback, they'll be, you know, they'll be in trouble. But it's my concern.
And well, I mean, look.
Come out of it good.
What does be in trouble mean? Does it mean that they can't beat them, or it means they're going to play a close game?
No, it means they could lose.
Yeah.
That's my concern. Because even the two drives that their quarterback, you know, in the second, was that the third quarter or second quarter? Well, they had two back-to-back drives, they ran
quarter.
Right through. Like, they couldn't stop them.
Bridge,
like,
who do you put in the category of good quarterback?
Well,
obviously Josh Allen. Hold
on. All the guys that we're going to play from now on, they're going to be good. So
is Sam Darnold a good quarterback?
Well, he's better than the Chicago quarterback at this point. At some point, you know, Williams will get to be a better quarterback.
Jordan Love?
Jordan Love, for sure.
Yeah, who they just beat with a depleted defense.
Yeah, and I'm not so much concerned about the regular season. It's in the playoffs.
Well, that would be Jordan Love. That could be Darnold.
In the playoffs, will be top, you know, top notch.
Yeah,
guy,
I mean, look,
know.
Jalen Hurts, they haven't thrown the ball particularly well. The rest of the quarterbacks that I would put on that list are AFC Super Bowl challenge quarterbacks, and it's not going
to
be easy.
But those two back-to-back drives, it looked like Tom Brady out there, you know.
Well, he's not a bad quarterback. By the way, he's only thrown 5 picks all season. He's got 19 touchdown passes to 5 interceptions. Caleb Williams has actually played pretty steady this year. The game's just got to slow down for him. And when it does, he makes good decisions. Yeah. And those two plays were – and I think one of the plays, the laser touchdown pass he threw to Keenan Allen, great pass. And I'd wonder if we can get an honest moment from Dan Campbell or Aaron Glenn on it. Was Melifonwu late to getting over there? Because it kind of looked like Terry Arnold either turned him over to him or Terry Arnold may have just gotten smoked and beaten on the play. But Melifonwu kind of comes over late, takes a terrible pursuit angle, and Allen just running for the touchdown. I wonder if that was a defensive breakdown there.
Yeah. But anyway, so hopefully we win the next 5 games and everybody lives happily ever after.
There you go.
But so anyway, so my champ, it was going to be the Washington Commanders. But then I saw this article this morning by Jeff Seidel in the News Free Press, and my champ is a Detroit Lions fan. His name is Ben Roth. He lives in Frisco, Texas. He's never lived in Michigan. He grew up a Lions fan because he liked Barry Sanders. He has season tickets. He lives in Texas, but he has season tickets for Lions games. Comes here 4 times a year. But what he did on Sunday was...
We saw a story. Yeah, we actually talked about it a little bit earlier. He saved the fan that collapsed.
Yes.
That was awesome. But
the amazing part is how he got there.
Wasn't supposed to be there.
To be on the sideline. It was like so many things had to happen for him to even be there.
It's a great story. You can find it in the Free Press. Jeff Seidel wrote it. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Basically was gifted sideline passes, and because he was there, when a fan collapsed as a firefighter, he helped bring him back to life. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And your chump, real quick.
He recognized it as a heart attack. Otherwise, somebody said they just fainted, you know, and that would have been problematic, too, because he's a firefighter and a paramedic.
All right, who's your chump?
So, anyway, chump, Jameson Williams. He did it again.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times is he going to do that?
Well, I hope not many. Look, thank you for the phone call, Bridge. We talked about it earlier. He really needs to basically show that he's got coaches back. And we don't know what happened. Like, when he got the personal foul in the game against the Bears on Thanksgiving, it turned out the guy who tripped him got a $10,000 fine, Stevenson, and he was part of this again. When a coach goes to bat for a player of any kind, at any level, and says, look, I don't think it's going to happen again, you got to back your guy up. Like he should be very appreciative. Dan Campbell continues to have his back, and he gave it was a teaching moment on the sideline again. But at the end of the day, yeah, you don't want it to come back and haunt you in a bigger game. Now, as far as his concern about replaying a good quarterback, they're going to play good quarterbacks in the playoffs. That's how it works, A. And B, as Jared Goff said, this isn't going to be easy.
No.
They're not going to roll through the playoffs. The whole margin of victory thing is very intoxicating. And their margin of victory is now down to like 15 points, but it's still the highest in the league. But that sobering stat that they're in company with 5 other teams, so only one won the Super Bowl that had similar margin of victories through regular seasons, that's a little scary because only one of them turned that directly into a Super Bowl. It just goes to show that, you know, the margin of victory, while it makes you feel very confident, it doesn't necessarily translate. So, no, it's not going to be easy.
No, and the Lions haven't played the toughest schedule in the league, but they've beaten all but 2. It's been a pretty remarkable run, 13-2. It's a franchise record for wins in a season, in a regular season, with 13. We're seeing all types of milestones. I mean, Jared Goff just threw His 33rd touchdown pass, which gives him a career high. Amon-Ra St. Brown has 100 receptions on the season again for the second year in a row. That's one of only a few players that have done the 100 receptions for over 1,000 yards and over 10 touchdowns in 2 years in a row. So that's it's impressive. We're seeing Jahmyr Gibbs continue to put up big totals, and he's well over 1,000 yards rushing now, and adding to his season totals for yards from scrimmage is impressive. The was he at 14 or 15 now touchdowns from scrimmage? That's amazing. They're just doing things every week, and you know you get an extra week too with a 17 game schedule now. But what they're doing in 15 weeks is amazing.
Ariel in Southfield, you're next. Well, hello, Ariel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Personally, as I told your screener, the Lions have the makings of a championship team. I think the problem with Detroit is we are just too darn pessimistic. I know the team's history has a lot to do with that. But even with Michigan football last year, when they clearly had the best team in college football, fans were very pessimistic. I think that we need to let go of the traumas from the past and just embrace our respective teams and just trust them. It isn't being pessimistic does not make us bad fans. It just makes us very negative at times, and that's not healthy for us psychologically or mentally. I don't know how it is for Spartan fans. Only Gator can attest to that, but that is just something I've noticed about Detroit fans overall. As far as Minnesota, I don't think they're as good. They're good, but I don't think they're world beaters, and I think they're going to be exposed with week 18. They've won a lot of games very luckily, and I think the Lions are going to be proven to be too much for them last week of the season. That's all.
Well, look, I mean, I always like to say fans have the right to feel however they feel, and what we try and do is convey the way we feel. You can validate or invalidate as much as you want. You know, I don't blame fans that are still scared just because it's been so long in terms of, well, it actually never happened this way. What we're experiencing right now, it's not been a long time. I mean, I get that some of you might have remembered the last championship, but we haven't had back-to-back seasons like this, as credible a product on the field as they have right now. And, you know, forgive people for still having scars from years past, although I think most of those have healed over. I mean, people are fired up, Ariel. I think they are more fired up than they are pessimistic.
I think you're right.
It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 97.1 The Ticket. The NFL playoffs are almost here, but it's not too late to get in on the regular season action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers can finish the season strong with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel has so many ways for you to pick up a W. Not only can you bet on who will win games, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points each team will score, and so much more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug to join today. This way, you'll be all set for the biggest games of the year. FanDuel.com/Doug for your chance at $250 in bonus bets. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, that is Dan Campbell talking about Jameson Williams. And look, you know, after that, the personal foul, the taunting penalty, he exploded. I mean, he was everything you'd want Jameson Williams to be. And I always talk about the net-net, like, you know, is when people call up and complain about Brad Holmes, oh, he missed on this pick, missed on that pick, or Dan Campbell shouldn't have gone for it here, shouldn't have gone for it there, or Jameson's personal fouls. You know, the net-net is way more positive. Now, is it perfect? No. But that's not how things should be judged. He had a hell of a game yesterday, Jameson Williams. Hell of a game. Now, the controllables, you want to control the controllables. And he didn't necessarily do that, given. Let's see what comes out of it. One, like the last time when the dude from Chicago Stevenson got fined, that was pretty telling. You still don't want the 15-yard penalty, but it was pretty telling. 248-539-9797. Michael's in Hillsdale, and next on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Michael.
What's up, Doug and Gator? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Same
to you.
Thank you.
I just want to do champ and chump.
Okay.
So my champ has to be my beautiful fiance for somehow finding me a Panay Sewell jersey for Christmas.
Sweet. Nice.
Nice.
And chump has to be all those Tennessee fans for talking all that smack about beating the Buckeyes, and we know how that ended.
Yeah, it was nice of them to travel north to lose.
Exactly. I completely agree with you, Gator.
Thank you for the phone call. Champ and Chump votes coming in. Champ Jared Goff for his acting skills. Chump Chris Illich for not firing Lalonde and Iserman.
This is getting into be this is a sticky situation they have with the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Because I can't sit here and say it's a coaching issue. I think my gut tells me it's a personnel issue. And who's in charge of personnel? Steve Iserman. Mm-hmm. I still trust him. I don't think he got dumb overnight. I think he is expecting better things out of some players they've acquired, and they haven't panned out, whether it's Tarasenko or Gustafson or others. I don't want to just single those two out because they're not alone. But he's responsible for putting this team together, and it looks like the best players they've gotten through the draft are the high-end draft picks that they've had. And we still haven't seen several of those guys play. And I feel like I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's wait and see when Sandin Pelikka comes and plays, when Danielson comes and plays, or when Nygaard plays in this. But those guys are still 1 year away, or 3 years away, or whatever it's going to be. At some point, you got to say it's not working. And, you know, I think you can afford to wait to the end of the season and kind of regroup with the general manager anyway. But with the head coach, I don't know if there's much that Lalonde can do. I don't think if you're going to change a head coach, is that going to light a spark under this team? I don't know if you get that in this situation, if the talent's just not there. But some things just haven't gotten better.
No, and that's where it's getting to the point where you almost may as well try it.
Yeah, I mean, the seat is awfully hot. Mm-hmm. For Derek Lalonde, it is on the third stage of three stages of your seat warmer. When you hit that button in the car, it's on that. It's really hot. So they've got a game tonight, and then they have the rest of the week off until Friday night. I don't. I mean, look, one game's not going to save a guy's job, but I also don't think Eisman's in any rush to make that kind of decision. I think this is going to play out for a little bit longer. But I'm sure he's looking himself in the mirror and saying he's responsible for this.
By the way, the previous caller who chumped Tennessee fans for talking all that mess, think about that. Talking all the mess is one thing. I was pretty impressed with how many of them were in Columbus. Like, I thought that was a hell of a showing for a fan base that was supporting their team. Now, as far as the mess they were talking, I mean, that's fans.
Right, but it is impressive when you see that. Like, when was it Georgia that went up to Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And took over Notre Dame?
Yeah.
That was impressive.
And we talk about how proud we are of our Lions fans for taking over stadiums. I'm not mad at Tennessee fans necessarily.
It wasn't a takeover of Columbus, but they had apparently they had a pretty sizable, big contingent. Yeah.
Yeah. Pat Forty said 35% to 40%, which is like, whoa. I don't know if that's the case. I've often said when anybody asks me to estimate how big a crowd was, I'll say something and people go, pfft. That wasn't it. And I'm like, okay, dude, I don't know. I'm not great at estimating crowd sizes. Sorry.
Can we put to rest one thing, though, about Tennessee coming up to Ohio State?
What's that?
When you go out onto the field without shirts, does it even mean anything? No. Like, to prove your toughness? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know.
Because it happens all the time. It's not just Tennessee. It's like in professional football or...
People missed it for the warm-ups. Tennessee went out. A bunch of guys didn't have shirts on.
Ooh, they are tough.
They went on loss, like, easily. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I'm just saying, like, it doesn't... Because you know how that goes on social media and everything. Look at these guys. They're tough. They're not afraid.
Mm.
They just got smoked.
More feedback here to the Carson Anderson inbox. Deion in Detroit, champ the Washington Commanders for getting it done in a close one. Chump Seattle for not getting it done in a close one. Yeah, I'm sure Seattle would have liked to have won that game, but the Commanders coming through.
I thought I saw something on Twitter. I think Colton Pouncey put it out that the guy who designed the winning play for the Commanders was David Blau.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Interesting.
That was a hell of a throw by Daniels, though. Dude. I mean, he threw it. The linebacker was there, but he didn't have his back turned around. I mean, everything about that was pretty insane. And then, by the way, if you guys didn't watch the game, and I didn't watch the whole game, but I saw it in red zone, Devontae Smith dropped the game-winning pass for the Eagles. I mean, stuff like that has to happen, you know, to set up that play that Daniels made.
Kind of a little bit of what goes around comes around. Yeah. Remember Carolina dropped the pass to beat Philadelphia?
Yep.
So Colton Pouncey was quoting from Albert Breer. It says from this story in SI, it said, the next call Kingsbury sent in was one that assistant quarterbacks coach David Blau added to the playbook at the end of spring, specifically for end-of-game situations, and the Commanders have repped it in practice a ton since training camp just for the situation like this. So give credit to David Blau, former Lions quarterback, helping us out.
Our guy. Thank you.
Well played.
248-539-9797.
There was some did you watch any of the Houston game?
Houston and Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Tank Dell went down, and they show all these replays, but I can't really tell what happens in the replay. It just looks, I mean, he got rolled up on, and eventually it's revealed today that he tore his ACL along with dislocating his knee. And you could see how everybody gathered around him. C.J. Stroud was devastated.
Yep.
I felt terrible for C.J. Stroud. Not even so much Tank Dell. Like, Tank Dell, okay, he's hurt. It sucks. He's going to rehab. But C.J. Stroud needed to be consoled. He's crying out there on the field. I felt terrible for him.
I felt pretty bad for Tank Dell.
Yeah, I felt bad for Tank Dell. Feel bad for Tank Dell.
Did you see C.J. Stroud,
but
though?
C.J., man.
Yeah.
Let his emotions get the best of him there.
And dude, then he walked away.
D'Amico Ryans is there, got his arm around him, trying to help him out.
I feel like Tank was hurt more than Stroud.
I don't know. I don't know.
No, but that honestly could be like not just career threatening, but life threatening. That type of injury, it's a Teddy Bridgewater type injury.
Yeah.
If you like lose like nerve and blood.
Yeah, well, it's Alex Smith, same type of thing. Yeah,
it's scary. That was one though that honestly, because it was on, we had the college game on, we had the Ferris game on in the command center, and I was like, I can't really see anything. Like, you couldn't, like, a lot of these injuries, you go, oh, no. And this one, I was like,
it just looked like he disappears, and you could tell that they land on the leg, and he's going one direction, and the leg's going the other direction.
Kind of flopped around a little bit, but it was.
It wasn't a real.
I never, at no point did I go, oh, that's it. He's done.
So I guess from reading afterwards, people said that there were replays that you could see where you could clearly see a dislocated.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys not watch the replays?
I did, but I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's bad.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not going the right way. Yeah, and his own teammate. It was friendly fire, basically. Yeah,
Yeah, both guys going in the corner of the end zone. And the fact
I did not see that replay because I never saw a replay that they might have showed it once and said, we're never going to show that again.
He caught the pass. Yep. And then he's got it with one arm as he's coming down and getting crunched and his leg's done. And he goes and clutches his leg while his other arm is still hanging on to the ball and rolling over.
He's completing the process.
He did. He completed the process. It was an amazing play.
Champ of the weekend, the Washington Commanders. Champ of the weekend, the Seattle Seahawks. That's from Stu in Brownstown. My champ is Christian Mahogany, who looks legit. My chump is the college football playoff, which was a complete dud. I mean, yeah, okay. Games weren't great.
I enjoyed it.
I actually did too, but because the games had true significance, you never know when somebody's going to come back. Got it. Pretty much nobody did. Indiana did a little bit, but
Penn State flexing their muscles defensively. Notre Dame doing the same thing.
I actually enjoyed like kind of an acknowledgement that the Big Ten in December was apparently as tough as we thought the Big Ten in December was going to be. All those years, we said, I'd like to see one of those teams come north.
And we had two games up there. And
look, Tennessee's climate isn't exactly tropical, okay? Got it. And Dallas can get cold, too, where SMU's from. But Big Ten home sites in December, if this becomes a thing, Big Ten home sites in December, and nobody wants to go to Big Ten country, I kind of can get on board with that. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Look, it's hard to find great service sometimes, so when you find it, you want to let everybody know about it. Well, I'm letting you know. Precision Garage Door, they are amazing. I needed some new garage doors, so I got in touch with them. This was after a few years ago. I got in touch with them because I was having some issues with the garage doors. They came out, they looked at them, they said, what we need to do this, this, and this, but you're going to have to replace them eventually. So when I did, I gave them the call back, and they did. A real human answered my phone. They scheduled an appointment right away, and it was awesome. Daryl and his team, they took care of me, and they'll take care of you as well. So give them a call today if you need new garage doors or just some scheduled maintenance on your garage doors. Give them a call, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or visit their website at precisiondoormi.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Last chance to get your champ and chump votes in, or any calls in for that matter, 248-539-9797. We do have this story. Little interesting wording. ESPN had a report. They were kind of doing a recap of the games, and from, you know, they kind of sum up what happened with each team. So, like, they'll have the, you know, Lions 34, Bears 17. They'll tell the Lions story. And then they tell the Bears story. Here's the Bears story. How did Ben Johnson's up-close audition land with the Bears? And whoever wrote the story writes, sources confirmed to ESPN that Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, is expected to interview for the Bears head coaching vacancy. Detroit put up 400-plus yards of offense for the third time in 4 games and jumped out to an early 20-0 lead. Conversely, Johnson, who praised quarterback Caleb Williams for how the ball whistles when he throws it, got a good look at a strong performance from the rookie. Okay. Sources confirmed to ESPN that Johnson is expected to interview for the Bears head coaching vacancy.
See, this is tricky for me. Because I don't buy it just yet. Do I think that you could speculate that the Bears would like to have Ben Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. But judging by Ben Johnson's past history, I don't think that you can speculate that he would take the interview.
Well, did you hear his press conference last week by chance?
No.
Okay. He said two things. One, he said he's more prepared to be a head coach than he's ever been before. And when asked directly, do you want to be a head coach? He said, absolutely. Now, with that said, the Bears job just seems like a crappy job. It seems like an organization that's a bit of a mess. And it feels as though, you know, who's running the show? I mean, was he impressed with Caleb Williams? He had two nice drives. I think he's a good quarterback, but it was a skeleton crew of a Lions defense. I just, if he has his choices of jobs, I just can't imagine him leaving a Detroit situation for a Bears job, minus the Lions winning a Super Bowl and just saying, my work is done here.
Right. Well, that's a big thing. If they win a Super Bowl, then who knows what happens.
All bets are off. Take whatever job you want, brother. Go to William and Mary. Right. Take that job.
Is it open?
Whatever job you want is cool.
I think it's interesting when you see stories like this and there's no real sourcing.
Yeah, the wording is really, it's vaguer than it sounds.
Yeah. It's like, hey, would take an interview. Well, okay, A, you don't know if the Bears want to interview him. And two, you have no idea if he would accept the interview. I mean, he's canceled interviews in the past in mid-flight. So I don't buy it just yet. Now, do I think that he should be under consideration? If I'm the Bears, absolutely. Because if I'm this dumpster fire of an organization right now, which the Bears are what the Lions were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
What do you do? Well, you find somebody from a culture of winning football, and that's what the Lions have become. They've completely changed the culture here, and Ben Johnson got a front row seat to see how they did it. So does he make sense? Of course he makes sense, but he would be part of the solution. The other part is you got to find somebody in the front office that also knows how to change the culture and go that route. But I think it's more of a coaching thing than it is a front office thing. You get a coach that can get people on board, that changes a lot of things.
Well, if it makes you feel better and sleep better at night, Chief.
Look, I'm not trying to make the Bears into winners, but that's how you do it. You'd hire Ben Johnson.
248-539-9797. MG is in Troy next. What's up, MG?
Hey, guys. Happy almost Christmas to both of you.
You too.
Thank you.
I don't want Ben Johnson to leave ever, and in particular, it would break my heart if he went to the Bears. But I just thought of something while you guys were talking that makes me think that maybe he will go to the Bears. He had a front row seat to watch what happens when you go to a city and a franchise that's been, let's say, down on its luck for a few decades and turn it around. And Dan Campbell can walk anywhere on any street in the entire state of Michigan, and he's going to get a high five, a thank you so much, let me buy you coffee. I mean, he practically is at God status. And I just wonder how much of that plays into Ben Johnson's, you know, want to go into the same situation and essentially resurrect one of the most established fan bases and franchises in the NFL that has been total garbage for the last 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically saying, are you ready to take on one of the toughest jobs out there, right?
Right, but you're right, and I'm not saying that he wants to go into utter dysfunction. Like, I don't think he's going to the Jets anytime soon so that he can have, you know, Madden ratings affect whether or not he's getting players. But on the flip side, I mean, just imagine what he's watching Dan Campbell go through right now. How do you not want to go through the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, when the phrasing has come out that he wants the perfect job, that sounds like something that might be a little bit more ready than the Bears job. But, you know, I mean, if you're trying to be the next, you know, miracle story savior coach, then the Bears job will be a good one to, if you're trying to mimic it.
Again, I don't want to sell the Bears job, but if I'm put in this position here where I can do the counter, I will. The Bears have lost a ton of games by a single score, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're their own worst enemy. So they can turn things around. It's a 4-win team that could easily be a 7 or 8 win team, and they're not. So it's a better situation than maybe you want to give it credit for. They've got a ton of talented players.
I used to do the close games thing too, but.
Well, it's the way that they've lost them. It's one thing to lose by a touchdown or by a field goal and do that a bunch of times. It's another one to have field goals blocked or giving up pick sixes at the end of the game. They're doing it how the Lions used to do it. It's a team that has a lot of talent.
If you're looking for the place where you can most be hero status, yeah, Chicago. But if you turned around the New York Giants, if you went to New York and you turned around the Giants and did it in New York, you'd get so much freaking love there.
Which job would you rather take over, the Giants or the Bears? You get the first pick overall.
What an awful decision.
Let's just say you get the first pick overall. So now you're going to make a franchise quarterback decision?
I'd probably take the Giants because I like the quarterbacks coming out this year.
Love Shadur.
Yeah.
So good. But I like Caleb Williams a lot. There's so much untapped talent there.
I just had the most backwards thought. I'd take the Giants job and then I'd hire Dion as my head coach. As the head coach. Like, I was like, no, you can't take the job as the head coach and hire Dion as the head coach. You're the head coach.
This is a good point. It's hard to do that.
Let's go to Dell. You're next. Hi, Dell.
Dell.
Dell or Bill?
Bill. Sure. Bill. Hey, Bill okay. works there. Hey, Bill.
All good. Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen to you guys a lot. Actually, a lot from Florida during the wintertime. But
cool.
Anyways, I was telling your screener there, I will definitely do a shoot the boot that he's gone. He's going to Chicago. There is, and everything lines up exactly like the Lions. They were right there, but they just didn't have the right leadership. And he's seen the right leadership, and he's going to jump. He's going to jump on that. You were talking about the fan base. I mean, Chicago fan base is pretty incredible. They've been begging for a good team out there for a long time. Just like the Lions, I mean, they've been better than we have, obviously. But I will shoot the boot. I will come to your studio and shoot the boot if he doesn't take that job. I hate to lose him, but we're going to lose him anyways. And I really don't like him being in our division either, for the record. But bottom line, I don't see anywhere else. There's no way he's going to New York. That's way too much, my opinion, on that piece of it. But I am guaranteeing this. You can record it. Shoot the boot, Phil from Union Lake. I will come shoot the boot.
Well, I will tell you that we've too many lawyers get involved in waivers, and we probably won't make you do that. But you're on the record. I don't think he's taking a Bears job.
I don't think you think so either. I mean, first of all, any job he takes this year is going to be somewhat of a dumpster fire because they fired their head coach and they probably suck, right?
It's not like, oh, so-and-so's retiring after a brilliant career.
Oh, he's taking over the Chiefs? Okay, yeah, I got that. You know, no, that's not happening. So, but the reason I don't think it's the Bears, Doug, is I think it's the front office issues. It's the Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. I mean, do they know what they're doing over there? And I think he wants, you know, something what like Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes have, where they're on the same page, everyone knows what type of culture they want to set. Because no matter where he goes, the talent on the field is probably going to be subpar of the rest of the league. But can he develop it? Yeah, I think he can. But I think it's the front office issues.
Are the Bears issues front office, or is it coaching? Obviously, it's a little bit of both, but is it more the coaching? I mean, Eberflus was horrible.
Like I said, I mean, everyone that fired their coach, right, has issues. And I don't think Brent Johnson's looking to become some hero. I think he wants to find a job that's good for him and his family. He doesn't need to be the next Dan Campbell. He wants to be the next Ben Johnson.
All right, look, Rico and Mike are coming up next. Gator, what do you think they will discuss?
I think they're going to be talking about how they're going to spend their Christmas time.
Okay.
And specifically, Mike is going to be singing some carols.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mike sings carols next here on 97.1 The Ticket.